Fab Sessmat Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
It's good Monday. Thanks for being with us. Where do we start today? Bertrand Barry is going to be with us in a little bit. I like Bertrand. I saw him after the game was over on Fox Sports Arizona doing his breakdown with Jody Jackson and Glenn Parker. He also has a show over on the radio on 98.7 FM. So we'll talk with Bertrand. That's coming up. And news and notes with Paula Bovin, AZ Central Sports columnist. I'm fighting it a little bit today, guys. Actually, I was fighting it last week. Some of you sent me notes about the show. We had some best ofs. Just part of the deal. When you have kids, these little germaphobes that are all around me. So obviously, we could talk all day about the Fitz catch and run and where you were. I think that was one of those deals. Remember when the Suns were in the finals and you'd hear stories about people in movie theaters getting texts about, this is when texting just started happening, or somebody'd call them and tell them, and people were cheering, and at department stores, people were gathering around television sets and all that stuff. That was one of those deals on Saturday. Where were you when Fitz made the catch, the Hail Fitz catch? And I've never seen a sporting event where so many stories got lost along the way. And yeah, I've seen hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of games and been to hundreds and hundreds of games. Eric went to the game and sat in the press box on Saturday night. So were you down on the field? Did you go down? Because you can go down to the field with like 5 minutes to go in the game.
I was not. I was in the press box because nobody knew exactly when the game was going to end.
Right. So you were there still writing and doing your thing. Mm-hmm. And all of our content, by the way, is on sports360az.com, sports360az.com. Those of you watching on AZ Central Sports, we appreciate you doing that. We partner with the Arizona Republic here at sports360az.com. So Eric's writing. I did not go. And you're like, well, why didn't you go? Lots of people need to go to games. We don't all have to be there. It's not – and actually, I'm going to have a little bit of stuff I learned – from NBC a little bit later in the show that nobody here in town had because they weren't given access to it. And NBC clearly was tipped off on a couple things that they'll talk about later on in the show. So I'm with my family making notes, writing, doing my thing on Saturday night. And when Fitz made the catch and run, I'll just be very blunt about it. I thought it was my wedding night with my wife. I mean, it was crazy. It was just like just going nuts. And then he gets the shovel pass. So they've been working on the shovel pass for 2 years. 2 years of working on the shovel pass play. And when you go out to practice, there's a period where we're allowed to watch, and then there's periods where we're not allowed to watch. Because in this day and age, you never know who's out there watching and who's going to tweet something that they shouldn't tweet. Hey, Cardinals working on a really interesting formation, a shovel pass with Fitz. I took a picture. I wasn't supposed to. I posted it anyways. That's what it's turned into when you go out to to practices. So for the most part, we're sequestered and we're put off limits so that we can't watch much in practice. We're given an open period, but not like it used to be. That's just how it's changed, and it's fine. It's fine. So they've been working on this play for 2 years, and they pull out this play after 2 years, and they run it flawlessly into the end zone for the touchdown. But you go back to the previous play, the catch and run, that Carson Palmer didn't have a good game at all. In fact, I don't think the Cardinals played an especially good game. In my humble opinion, there were mistakes that were made that, by the way, can be cleaned up before they play Carolina. I'm not going to sit here with pom-poms all week long saying this is great. No, this is what they're supposed to do. They are supposed to be a team that is built to go to the Super Bowl. My expectations aren't this was the greatest game that I've ever seen and I'm going to live off of that. No, this Sunday is supposed to be the greatest game that I've ever seen because it's the next game. If they don't win on Sunday and they don't go to the Super Bowl, it's disappointing. You can't wrap this around and say, well, it was a nice season. No, this is a team that is built to win now. And quite frankly, I think they are a better team than Carolina when they play at their best. They have not played at their best in the last few weeks. In fact, you could look at this team this entire season and say one of the things about this team that bothers me is they are like this. They are up and down. They were flat the other night. Is it because they had a two-week break? That sounds real nice. It's like saying Seattle lost yesterday because the turf wasn't any good. No, Carolina had to play on the same turf, and they figured it out. Yes, you're the visiting team. Yeah, your body clock was set at 10 a.m. rather than 1 o'clock. All that stuff is nothing more than excuses when you get to this point. Your expectation, yeah, I'm going to tell you how to think on this. Your expectation should be that you want this team and this team to win a Super Bowl. Not just get to the NFC title game for the first time since the last time and say how great it is that we're in this position, we being the Cardinals. Because, look, Justin Bethel is clearly become a target, clearly has become somebody that other teams are going to go after. That's just a fact. And late in the game, the Packers have wide receivers. Eric and I were talking about this morning. These are guys that have not done much of anything this entire season. And yet Aaron Rodgers had them in a position, in fact, went into overtime against a team that they were so shorthanded. And the Cardinals were shorthanded in that they didn't have Alex Okafor. Okay? Randall Cobb was gone. And somehow, with a bunch of guys, a guy that caught two passes for the entire season, they push the hometown team all the way into overtime. So you give them a lot of credit on that, but it's also very fair to say that was not a well-played game by the Cardinals. Am I being too harsh today? You said I'm spiteful when you saw me this morning. You said,
yeah,
I'm
you're
grumpy.
Just, you have like an edge to you.
Yeah.
You came in and you're just like, I hate this. I don't like these people. We didn't do this right. They did this wrong, blah, blah, blah.
Who did I not like?
See, there it's just right there.
Like?
There it is again. Who did I not like?
Who did I not like?
Man, lay off the DayQuil.
I have a cold. No, do you want me to be all sugary and happy today? And that's
today,
it?
Today should be a happy day.
Are you bummed that am I a downer today? Am
You're
I just
not
speaking
a downer.
Truth?
You just,
am I speaking truth?
You just have a little edge to you.
Am I speaking truth?
We tend to do that on this show.
We
yes.
tend to do that, but am I? I'm giving Aaron Rodgers a lot of credit before I go into the Larry Fitzgerald, 171 yards, helping Carson Palmer get his first ever playoff victory. And by the way, Bruce Arians, too. When Bruce Arians calls the pass play on second down and everybody in the universe is saying that's one of the dumbest calls I've ever seen, all I'm going to say to you is, if you watch this team at all this year, that's who the Cardinals are. That's who Bruce Arians is.
And he was so, I don't know, unapologetic after the game about it. Just like, well, we're going for the win. And that's just the play I called, and I thought the play was going to work. Next question.
We have a picture that we show often of David Johnson running down the sidelines in a game against New Orleans earlier this year. And in that game, it was a play that was called that everybody's saying, why are they throwing it here? And it caught everybody off guard and ended up being a touchdown, and that's who Bruce Arians is. And you love it when it works. And if you're a coach where you try that stuff, and I say that lovingly because I it's what I love about Bruce Arians. It's not predictable. When there's 25 seconds to go and you're on your own 15-yard line and it's 25 seconds before halftime, Bruce is not going to take a knee and go into the locker room. That's just not what's going on here. You may say conventional wisdom says take a knee. He's going to take shots down the field. Be damned if it gets picked off. Team's gotten this far. So you can question the coach. Sure you can. But if you've been watching this team at all this year, that's who he is. And they're on the doorstep of the Super Bowl. So, yeah, embrace, enjoy. But at the same time, let's look at this realistically. There's work to do this week. Because I looked at Carolina yesterday, and I think they are beatable. I don't know if the field's going to be any better or not. But guess what? They're not moving the game. And they're going to play the game on Sunday night. And you may just better get used to it and figure out what it is that you have there in your tool bag. If it's different cleats, if it's longer cleats, short, whatever cleats you have to have, you're going to have to adjust to the surroundings. If it rains or snows, so be it. But all that stuff is just nonsense to worry about. Control what you can control. What can the Cardinals control and do better? Carson's got to play better. He just has to, and he knows that. I'm not going to sit here and bang away on him all week. Maybe the fact that he gets the monkey off of his back of not ever winning a postseason game, now that that's over with, maybe he does take a big sigh. Maybe he's got some people that get into his ear this week that can calm him and relax him. Or maybe the finger is much worse because the amount of times NBC referred to it and Chris Collinsworth talked about it and Michelle Tafoya did a tape job of the finger and showed how he's holding the ball differently. It's pretty clear that the production meetings with NBC, somebody over the Cardinals, whether it's Carson or whomever, yeah, it's a lot worse than what we're letting on. Go back and watch the tape if you disagree with me. I don't think they just sat there and said, we got to make this finger be a much bigger deal than it is. Clearly, there's something going on there.
And I think the Cardinals, Brad, are in a really good position. They're going to Carolina. They have to travel across the country. Mm-hmm. Most people, I wouldn't say aren't giving them a chance, but are thinking that the top seed is going to advance. The Cardinals didn't play great on Saturday. They, at times, probably could have lost that game.
Easily.
So they have plenty of things to iron out this week. It's a night game. They're on the road. There's just something about the way this is all setting up that I think the Cardinals are going to win on Sunday. I think they're going to go to Carolina. I think they're going to beat the Panthers.
You are so happy today.
I'm not happy. You know, I'm usually the negative one when it comes to all sports, but I just, there's...
Linus?
I just,
is it Linus, or did I get that one wrong?
I don't know. I just have a feeling that the Cardinals are going to win.
Are you cheering, or are you just being? Are you being honest here?
I like to see the Cardinals do well. I'm not a Cardinal fan per se.
Why not?
But I like to see I like to see all the local teams do well.
That's me too. It's like my wife says, "Why aren't you cheering?" I said, "I have to watch this thing objectively. That's every event. I don't sit here and." She's like, "We don't have any Cardinals stuff in our house." No. If you want to go get some, go get some. But I've never asked for a free ticket. I've never done any of that stuff.
The dynamics inside the press box were really interesting on Saturday because you're not allowed to cheer, but there was so much natural emotion from that game. The,
yeah.
The can you believe what we just saw type
sure.
stuff that it was, you know, there were a handful. It wasn't one play. It wasn't the Fitz catch and run.
Mm-hmm.
It was also the shovel pass. It was also the coin toss. It was also the 4th-and-20 conversion on their own 4 by the Packers, the Hail Mary. Just, you know, two
Collinsworth and Michaels actually ran out of things to say.
The Packers, Brad, had 2 17 play drives in the first half. Think about that. And they got field goals off of both of them.
They didn't know what to say. All they could say is, oh my gosh, I've never seen something quite like this. And I was trying to think back to all the games through the years, and you have moments. I mean, I remember being at Charles scoring 56 in a playoff game at Golden State. I'd never seen anything like that. Then I'm at the Super Bowl, and I'd never seen something like that. We're on the field at the end, and all the emotion is there. The World Series with Luis getting the hit. Larry's catch will go down as if whenever somebody decides to do an updated version of Arizona's top 10 sporting moments. Okay, those two plays will end up, the catch and run and the shovel pass, will go down as a top five deal. There's no question about it. I'll talk to Paul about it in a little bit. Bertrand Berry's on the other side. We caught up with Bertrand. He has his show over on the radio now as well. And, of course, Bertrand, part of Fox Sports Arizona's great coverage. We'll have him on the TV show. That'll be tomorrow night. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. Here now is Bertrand Berry, the former Cardinal great, 98.7 FM, host Fox Sports Arizona. I saw you on the post game with Glenn and Jody, and it looked like you were in shock by what you were seeing or had just seen. So you've had a few days, B, to digest everything. You look back on Saturday night. What strikes you most?
I think the thing that struck me most was the fact that the Green Bay Packers came in and they were really game to go in and play well against the Arizona Cardinals. And they were bound and determined not to have a 30-point loss. I didn't think that it would be a 30-point game, but I did think the Cardinals would have a much easier time than what they did. You have to give a lot of credit to Aaron Rodgers and company. I thought they really came in and had a good game plan, and they executed to the best of their ability.
Adrian Wilson jumping into Larry Fitzgerald's arms. Okay, if you're there and Larry's coming at you, would you be restrained enough? Were you there as he crossed the goal line?
Yeah, me and Adrian were actually standing right next to each other, and Adrian just was bold enough to go on the field. I didn't want to do that because, you know, I didn't want to take away, you know, anything, and I didn't want to get hurt, you know, to be quite honest, because, you know, Larry had on pads and helmet and all that, and I just had on regular clothes. So I felt like if Larry would have been like he's been the last few years, you know, very emotional after big plays, you know, he may have did some damage to me because I'm not quite being used to getting hit like back in the day.
And you're looking at Adrian. Are you thinking, dude, are you nuts running out there in your bright blue suit?
No, I get it. He was excited, and you know, we both had the same amount of excitement. He just channeled his in a different way. And I think both of us being former teammates of Larry, we know how clutch he's been for this team and for this organization. And Larry being a good friend to both of us, we were just happy for him. We wanted to see them succeed, and for him to show up in that moment, given all that he's been through, I just think it was one of those rare emotional moments that you never know how people are going to respond. And Adrian and Larry gave us both something to talk about for years to come.
Talking with Bertrand Barry. So when you look back on Larry's night, in terms of your years in sports, doesn't matter if it's youth, Notre Dame, around the NFL, where would you put what you saw of Larry in that final minute the other night?
Man, I would put that right up with his playoff performance back in 2008. The fact that he has really taken this team on his shoulders and really willed them to win. And we saw this before with Larry, and we're seeing it again. And he's just a great player. When you need him the most, he shows up the best, and it just goes to show what type of player he is. He's a special individual, and I think the Arizona Cardinals and us as fans have been very fortunate to witness Larry do his thing his entire career.
Okay, so let's advance now, Bertrand, to this Sunday night against Carolina. Steve Keimet said the Cardinals didn't play their best, that not many players play their best game, and yet they still found a way to win against Green Bay. What needs to change? What needs to get cleaned up this week as they look towards the NFC title game?
Well, you look at this team, it's still a very young team. Yes, there are guys that have had success in the playoffs in the NFL, but this group together has not. And I thought the game this past weekend was just the growing pains of a young team learning how to become champions. Mm. And I didn't think it was going to be a stat game. I didn't think it was going to look great from a stat standpoint. But the fact of the matter is you find a way to win the game by any means necessary. And that's what this team did. And that's why you give this team a lot of credit, because you knew Green Bay was just going to come and they were going to play inspired football. With Aaron Rodgers, one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL, you always have a chance when you have a guy like that on your team. So no one was surprised that they came out and they were game to play. But the fact that they were able to come out and win, I think now they can breathe a sigh of relief, and then they can get back to executing the way that they know how to execute. It was more of that first game jitter, you know, and being nervous in that first playoff game after having the bye week. But I anticipate this team playing much better from an X's and O's standpoint, and I really expect them to come out of Carolina with a big-time win and 60 minutes away from the Super Bowl. How good can it get?
Drill down a little bit further, and that's really good stuff there, but drill down further then. You remember your first ever playoff win and what it was like to get that off your back and give it towards Carson Palmer getting it off of his on Saturday night. What's that mean to a player?
Oh, it's everything. And I think for Carson it was even more important because quarterbacks, fairly or unfairly, are judged solely by what they do in the playoffs. And I remember my first win was here against the Atlanta Falcons. I had been in the playoffs twice previously and did not have success. And getting that first one out of the way, I think it really calmed us as a team in 2008. And, you know, we went through that growing pain, and people saw we played much, much better when we went out to Carolina. And hopefully that's a great omen for this team this year. And so to get the first one out of the way, it just does wonders for you mentally, Brad. And if you can go out and do that, however you can get that done, it really doesn't matter. Now it just becomes a game of football. And the one thing we know about this team and with this head coach, that if it's just a game of football, they're going to come out aggressive, they're going to come out loose and very confident, and they're going to put themselves in a great position to win that football game.
What similarities, B, do you see between this team and the 2008 Cardinals, if any?
I don't know if there's many similarities. I know you have a Larry Fitzgerald who's playing at a very high level. We have that in common. You have Kurt Warner and Carson Palmer, two guys that are older guys that were really trying to resurrect their career to some degree, and I think Carson has done a great job of that. He did what he needed to do to win the game on Saturday, and I think that now he can relax, and you have an opportunistic defense. We really came together after that last regular season game in 2008, and I think this team will come together from a defensive standpoint, and they'll go out in Charlotte, and they'll play really good football. I'm really excited for this team and what Sunday has in store for them.
Talking with Bertrand Berry. Before I let you go then, tell me about slowing down Cam Newton and what do the Cardinals have to do against Cam and the offense of Carolina?
Man, that is a high-powered offense, and Cam Newton is playing as well as any quarterback in the NFL right now. He is the MVP of the league, in my opinion. I think it's only a foregone conclusion. I think he's going to get that award. But you saw what they did against a team that we know very well in the Seattle Seahawks, and they jumped all over him from the very first play. They run the ball extremely well, and so it's going to be imperative that this front seven really come to play and really bring the big boy pads and make sure that they play a physical brand of football and try to slow down Jonathan Stewart and Cam Newton and whoever else is playing running back for the Carolina Panthers, because it's a well-oiled machine right now. They're playing with extreme confidence out there in Charlotte. So the challenge is going to be great, but that also means that the reward will be that much greater once they go out and get it done.
Okay, safe travels. Before you go, if Larry does something similar to what he did on Saturday night in the Super Bowl and you and Adrian are standing there, you have to go take the punishment. You have to go rush the field, B. I mean, come on.
If they punch their ticket to the Super Bowl, trust me, I will be on the field. I'll be doing snowmen. I'll be doing whatever else type of celebration you can think of, because it's not very often you get an opportunity to play for it all and play for a world championship. So I'll be extremely happy for these men, and Adrian and I will definitely be celebrating as hard as anybody else out there.
Stay well. Thanks for the visit.
Absolutely. Appreciate it, guys.
Giving you the inside slant on the weekend's biggest stories. It's time for News and Notes with AZ Central sports columnist Paula Bovin. Here again, Brad Sesmat.
That was good to have Paula Bovin jump on board, my friend, AZ Central sports columnist. Eric says that I'm grumpy and edgy today, so I'm sure you and I are going to fight, which is fine. I look forward to it. I didn't think the Cardinals played particularly well. If they play like they did Saturday night at Carolina for the full game, they'll probably lose. That said, they are resilient. It may have been a case of nerves for some of these guys that have never been on that spotlight, but I think in particular, Carson Palmer will play better. I'll say that. Will play better this Sunday. What about you?
Yeah, shockingly, I agree with almost everything you're saying, Brad.
Really?
I thought Carson did not play well. But I thought he stepped up when they needed to. And I think even when he was delivering bad passes, he was managing the offense pretty well. And so I think he'll play a lot better. And that was, fairly or not, that whole hasn't won a playoff game thing was a very prevailing sort of theme and discussion. So, I think there was that a little bit. I think this team will play a lot better. They're going to need to. I was pretty impressed by what I saw with Carolina. And when you're facing a guy with, I think he had his career best passing rating this year, I think that's a bit scary. So I'm excited, just as a fan of football, to see the game.
So I took from the NBC broadcast that they were told that Carson's finger has been much worse than what anybody's been told out here in Arizona, which is not a surprise. That, when you have Michelle Tafoya doing the sideline, how they're taping his finger differently, how he's holding it differently, and Collinsworth repeatedly, numerous times on the broadcast, said, yeah, it's his finger may be bothering him on this throw. He doesn't make that throw. What's going on? It's got to be the finger. So I'm taking that into account, that he's hurt worse than we've been told all along on this thing. But I think managing a game, he can manage a game. He managed the overtime just fine. And I trust Bruce's play calling. People can crush Bruce all they want. Let's get into that. Do you feel like the criticism of Arians' play calling was deserved the other night?
No, because he has them one victory away from playing in the Super Bowl. And I think part of the reason they got there is by not being conservative, by taking chances, by sort of having faith in what he does. Now, can you second guess a lot of those calls? Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if they had blitzed and if they had not blitzed, excuse me, when Aaron Rodgers threw that Hail Mary, would it have been a different storyline? You know, possibly. And certainly the second down option of passing instead of running the ball and eating up the clock late in the regular
game's regulation. Over if they do that. Game's over.
Yeah. Odds are very good it would have been a different outcome. Bottom line, though, I mean, I think we don't recognize sometimes the ones that work well because you know, that's what you expect from a coach. You expect the plays to work well. So we don't pay that much attention to them. So I don't have a big problem with that. And I think his players like the lack of wishy-washiness and the prevailing storyline of conviction with him. So I don't have a big deal. I don't have a big issue with it.
It's kind of like Mike D'Antoni back in the day where this is how I'm going to run my offense, and you guys can rip me all we want for defense. And they never won a title, okay, but that's just who he was. And I respect coaches that stick to their guns. Those coaches also, I'm not going to say all the time, but many of those coaches also get fired down the road where things don't work right. I'm not saying that with Bruce. I admire where he is. I believe in what he's doing. I think the criticism of him is misguided for the throwing rather than running the football. The shovel pass to Fitz may go down as one of the greatest play calls I've ever seen.
That was great, you know, sitting on that play for 20 weeks or whatever it
was.
That's,
2 years.
That's pretty funny, waiting for the right time. Yeah, that was amazing.
Talking with Paula Bovin. Okay, so before we get into Fitz and all this, when you look back on Saturday night, you've had a few days now to digest this win, and maybe some things got lost along the way because in the moment you have these reactions. Do you have something different now looking back on this game than what has already been out there?
You know, this is going to sound so cheesy, but when we see teams go to the Super Bowl or have successful season, so often there has been the ball bounces their way. I know that sounds so cliche, but it just seems to be some of that undercurrent of, I don't know, magic, good fortune. I mean, even that whole coin flip, twice they tossed the coin, and both times it went the Cardinals' way for the, you know, overtime. There just seems to be things like that going on with this team. There's something working. I don't know what kind of mojo it is. I know it sounds really corny, but that's the thing that kind of jumped out at me the last few days. Is I've been looking at, you know, the tip pass that goes into the hands of Michael Floyd or things like that. It just seems like that's happening a lot with this team. So I think that's a good thing. They've definitely got something on their side. I don't know what it is.
Yeah. It's almost like a religious experience, I guess.
Exactly. There you go.
So Aaron Rodgers was talking about the coin flip part of it and that he makes his calls based on which way the referee is holding the coin. So I don't know. I made a joke about how the coin was underinflated, right? And some people thought that was
nice, right?
Yeah, I mean it was pretty easy, but some people look at that coin flip play and they'll go back on it and say that the referee, it should be in the rule book. I don't know how far you can go in rules, Paula. Because
right.
The guy did the right thing. It's okay, let's do this again. Do you know where right. I'm coming from on this? Like, we can only parse rules so far down.
Yeah, that to me was not a worthy storyline. I mean, I just don't think there was much debate. Now, I would, you know, if someone wants to engage in a debate about how they're handling overtime in the NFL,
yes.
I think that's a worthy discussion. Because
yes.
There does seem to be some unfairness about having a coin toss determined. You know, if you get the ball and if you score and then it's over, you know, it just doesn't feel right to me. And honestly, I don't know what the solution is. I don't know if it's the college way. I don't think that's an ideal situation either, but I'm not crazy about the way they do that now in the NFL.
What if you did 10 minutes? You know, what if you just did 10 minutes
of overtime?
Yeah. What if you just had a 10-minute period and that's it? I mean,
yeah,
if you're
that would be fair.
If you're in playoffs, okay. If you're in the playoffs, you have to play until somebody wins. Okay.
Right.
So, but I agree with you. If in Green Bay today, they're pissed. They're not happy.
Sure.
They're not happy at all about how this ended. And eventually the shoe is going to be on the other foot in sports. It's just the way things play out. So I think the only fair way to go about this is both teams should have had a possession. I know there's people right now screaming, oh, no. How can you say this? The Cardinals won. We won and all that stuff. No, I'm thinking of fair. And sometimes in sports, it's not fair. But just having a basic 10-minute period, I think, is very fair.
I would agree. I mean, you know, I understand people say, well, it is fair now because, you know, you just have to play good defense if you don't get the ball. Yeah, but it, you know, I think you have to both at least get the opportunity to get the ball in your hands, and at least a 10-minute period would most likely allow that to happen. So I think they really need to, take another look at it in the offseason and figure out a better method.
So you feel good about Carolina? Eric's like already saying they're going to win. It's Monday.
That Carolina's going to win?
Yeah, it's too early. Or the Cardinals are going to win. Eric thinks the Cardinals are going to win. That's his problem. I can't go there yet. Where are you at on Monday on this?
I think it's a total. I mean, I think it's a total toss up. I was really impressed by some of the things Cam Newton was doing. I think that's going to, you know, really challenge this defense. But I have, you know, I quite honestly, before the postseason, I thought Seattle was going to get to represent the NFC. I thought they were that good. So I am done voting against the Cardinals. It's just one of those situations where they are finding ways to get things done, even if it's not pretty. If I had to pick, if I had to take a pick, I'd go with the Cardinals just because of the way they're managing to get victories despite that debacle against Seattle. So yeah, but gosh, you know, you're playing around, going to be playing in front of a hostile crowd and a really great quarterback, so it's not going to be easy by any stretch.
Well, they're playing against a great defense, and you know Josh Norman against Larry Fitzgerald, not that it's always going to be that way,
right.
And then you look at the running game of Carolina and how good they are, and you know Julius Peppers, and we'll see about Jared Allen with his foot, but it's one of those things where I look at the uneven play of the Cardinals. The Cardinals have not played a crisp start-to-finish game in probably a month.
And
So it's all great living in the moment. That's why I'm sitting here on Monday saying, as I sit here right now, if they play like they did Saturday, they're going to lose. So
no, they need to play better than Saturday, and Palmer needs to play better. There's no question. I think this is going to be a great matchup of the coaches. I mean, there's so much talent on that field on Sunday. I think it's going to come down to X's and O's and, you know, some of these plays that Arians is pulling out 18 weeks, 20 weeks later,
sure.
Those kinds of things might determine what happens. You know, you got to take advantage of matchups, and that may be the difference maker. And when you look at the, you know, both these coaches have a lot of experience, but, you know, it's hard to go against Arians when you're talking about that kind of stuff.
All right, before we get you out of here, let's talk about Fitz. Now, this could be an hour-long show or a two-hour-long show. The two plays the other night, if we're talking about when somebody writes the book, and it may well be you, when someone writes the book of the 10 greatest Arizona sports moments in the last 50 years, okay, or 40 years or whatever, those two would have to go in the top five, given the moment, the magnitude. And Larry actually would have three plays now in that top five, his Super Bowl run against the Steelers down the field, which was eerily similar to what I saw the other night. He's one of the top two, top five greatest Arizona athletes ever. Where do you put some context to Larry and what he did the other night and just this season, given that people were throwing dirt on him a year ago?
Yeah, I think that's part of the story, how the comeback during this amazing journey in his career. You know, I'd have to think about where I'd rank him, but his plays are definitely, like you said, among the top five. One, you know, he's a guy that jokes more than anyone that he's not the fastest receiver on that team. But his knowledge of the game, some of those cuts he made, where he knows to be on the field, and his sure hands, not to mention the blocking element you add into it this season,
mm-hmm.
just fantastic. And I was just thinking this morning about who Larry was at the beginning of his career with the Cardinals. And I remember he wouldn't talk to the media. I remember like chasing him down into a parking lot after a game to try to pin him down because it just wasn't his thing. And so even his growth in that area it kind of cracks me up, you know, just how he was such a different guy. But as far as, I mean, you know, a community leader, a team leader, he even mentioned how his teammates kind of feed off his plays. It's just the whole package. And then to have these big-time plays where if they keep winning, I'm sure we're going to see a few more of them. It's pretty remarkable to have a front-row seat like we do at this, the ability of Larry Fitzgerald. It's pretty darn impressive.
Well, here's the thing. Wiz had to get on his case to be a better receiver. Wiz had to get on. The coaching staff did. Bruce had to get on his case. I remember Bruce. One of Bruce's earlier, very early conversations to us was, "There's no special rules for people," and and asking Larry to block, which was something, and asking him to move inside, was not something that was over. He wasn't overjoyed by that, in my opinion, in observing him through all this. In terms of the community side and business side, he's been so far out in front on a business and setting up his post-NFL career than any player I've ever seen. I mean, just very calculated and very smart. I don't mean that in a negative way. But the facts are, if you're going to do the story on Larry, it's not been all peaches and cream behind the scenes for him to get to this point. And that's what I respect about him, is I think he's had to grow through this whole process.
Gosh, I remember, you know, people thought he was kind of done once Arians came and we had his best days behind him. Well, you know, will he ever get another contract here? Can he adjust? And to his credit, he kind of kept his mouth shut. You know, other people were saying things for him, but there was thought that Arians was using him incorrectly. There was talk that Larry was happy. And like you said, he reinvented himself. And, you know, that's not an easy thing to do when you've been praised your whole life for your greatness and for praise for doing things that maybe your coach doesn't want you to do now. Mm-hmm. I'm sure that wasn't easy on him. And you're right. I mean, the sort of the way he's reinvented himself a couple times has been a great part of his storyline and sort of great markers on this timeline of his career.
He's never said to me, Paula, and he may have said to you, or he may have said to Dan, or he may have said to Kent or to Mac. He's never said publicly, man, I was dealt some really bad quarterbacks in the middle part of my career between Warner and where he is today. But we all know it, and we all saw it, where he almost got decapitated from some of these guys that couldn't hit the side of a barn. And the list of those guys, I think, for those 2-3 years, if you go back through that, Larry never said anything publicly about it. He may have privately, but publicly, and he very easily could have said, are you guys kidding me? You're giving me these guys that are nothing more than guys. They can't play.
Oh, and I'm sure he thought that. And it was, you know, there were games that was, for fans, it was frustrating because they couldn't get him the ball. Here was this great talent, and they could not get him the ball. Oh, I'm sure he was frustrated, but you're right. I mean, it was a credit to him that he didn't say it, and it would have made better copy for us if he had.
Yep.
But he's never gone in that direction, and that's pretty darn impressive.
All right. Stay well. I went along with you today, but it's really good stuff to talk about. Thanks.
No, it was good talking to you, Brad. No, stop being so cranky, okay?
Yeah, I know. Get out of here.
All right. Bye.
Paula Bovin. Get off my phone. Get off my grass! So this coin flip, there's a couple other things in sports today. You know, there's a big cheating scandal going on in tennis. Djokovic was offered like, $200,000 to throw a match at the Aussie Open. What's that all about?
That's nothing for those guys.
No, I know. Greg Norman got fired. Rich Rod gives his kid a scholarship, which I've got to give a little bit of context to that. So there's a ton going on. The other side, we'll get to all things that are left over from the Cardinals game that you may have missed. That's next.
Like our Facebook fan page for unique Arizona sports content from the high schools to the pros. Facebook.com/sports360AZ.
So Ron Rivera just met with the media down in Carolina, and he said that, I'm just getting it here off Twitter, that Jared Allen is getting an MRI on his foot, and Jonathan Stewart is a little sore, but there's no major concern there. Jonathan Stewart has had a really good year for Carolina. When you watch the balance of Carolina, they don't do anything, in my opinion, especially well in one area. They are very balanced. They're very consistent in what they do. They can run, they can throw. They've got a terrific quarterback who's just a beast of a man at 6'6", 250 pounds. I myself am not big on Cam Newton doing all the Jared, you know, all the stuff of moving around with his hands on first down and all that. You got a first down, okay? And I get it that there's players that like to do that. Patrick Peterson the other night was making some fans really grumpy and annoying with some of his stuff rather than just play the game. Actually, I had some people yesterday that said, what is the story with Patrick Peterson doing the, you know, taunting and all that? He doesn't need to do that. And he doesn't. But players in the moment like to do that sort of thing. Again, a 15-yard penalty for taunting, you don't know what that's going to turn into later on in the game. You don't need to do it. I think Cam Newton is taunting every time he does that. Am I wrong on that?
Yeah, I don't necessarily agree with it. I mean, there's really...
No, no. Am I wrong in saying that should be a penalty? He's taunting. Is he getting the crowd excited? He gets a first down, and he's got to go through the motion of first down.
It's one of those mini gray area NFL rules.
And like a coin flip, right? That's a gray
area?
Well,
the coin flip, and there were a couple times yesterday that in one of the games where it was clearly pass interference. I mean, the guy's got his hands all over him and no call. I mean, illegal contact.
What's a catch? What isn't a catch?
What's a catch? What isn't a catch? I mean, by definition, one of the catches that I think was called a catch, by definition, I think it was one of the Fitz plays where he went to the sideline, he had the ball out, and as he hit the ground, the ball came out. By NFL rule, that is not a catch. But Saturday, it was a catch. He did not complete the process of making a catch.
Well, it's like the Hail Mary for the Packers, and you corrected me on it, because my first view on Twitter, I said, I don't think that's a catch. And, of course, I got pummeled. Well, what do you mean it's not a catch? Well, it looked like the ball was moving still and then was punched out.
The ball was moving, but it never hit the ground. There was no angle of it hitting the ground. So,
well, and there was the stoppage in the game to review a catch. The guy dropped the ball, clearly dropped, and we stopped the game for 2 minutes.
Yeah, the TV crowd saw that a lot better than the people up in the press box. We were looking at it like, yeah, that looks like a catch, and then they show the replay on NBC, and they're like, how did they miss that?
There's all these people that are out there disguised as referees, and look, technology is ruining it for referees because every error that they make now is being magnified, and this is gonna sound like guy get off my lawn, but every game now there are what did the referee see there? Because clearly what we see is slow motion times 10 from 30 different angles rather than the human element. So it's pretty easy for guy that's sitting there, Joe Sixpack, guy that's sitting there that's pounding beers with his buds to say, yeah, that was a bad call, and that guy doesn't know what he's doing. All these refs blow, and the game is fixed or rigged and all that stuff. It's pretty easy to say that. But in the speed of a game, there's moments where the flow of the game got screwed up the other night a few times because there were so many stoppages to what's going on here and what's going on there. Rhett Rodriguez is the name you need to know about today. Why is that? So, University of Arizona, with National Letter of Intent Day being in 2 weeks, 16 days till the biggest day of the year in high school and college football, and we, outside of the championship game, and we do a lot of it here at Sports 360 AZ. Rhett Rodriguez is Rich Rodriguez's son. I already got the nepotism tweets from the ASU fans who will never say anything nice, even when they're completely off base. But in this case, Rich recruited Rhett, his son, and Rhett has agreed to be a Wildcat, the first recruit of their 2017 class at quarterback. And you've seen him play, and I've only seen the stories you guys have done on him.
Good quarterback.
So the level of competition that he's in is a concern, but when he goes to passing leagues and those sorts of things, and people look at him straight up, he can play. He's a good player. So he goes to the U of A. U of A, for UASU fans, it's actually for us here just observing both programs, it's really interesting in this offseason. Todd's had most of his staff that have left. Rich has had to fire most of his staff or all of his staff on the defensive side of the football. Rich has gone out and he's brought in some guys that can flat out recruit. Or today he recruits, the defensive coordinator from Boise State.
Yep.
So he's not messing around. He's going after some established people in established programs to try to get U of A straightened out on the defensive side of the football. And how much of that is Greg Byrne, too? How much of it is Greg saying, let's open up the purse strings here a little bit? But 2 weeks away from Letter of Intent Day, And there's quite a bit of news going on that front. We'll do a lot around LOI Day. Even if the Cardinals are in the Super Bowl, we'll still do a lot around LOI Day because that's what we do. Greg Norman was fired today, or not brought back by Fox. So this is interesting to me. So Fox makes a big splash last year that they're going to do golf. And they throw together this golf crew of Joe Buck, who's never done golf, and Greg Norman, who to me has made his living putting his fancy logo on shirts and being married for a short period of time. Was it Steffi Graf? No, not Steffi Graf. It's Chris Everett. It's Chris Everett he was married to. And I'll see this story of the great white shark going shark fishing off of Australia with his nice little hat on, but I don't see for a minute that he's going to work hard at it. Well, what do you know? It comes out that Greg Norman wasn't big on production meetings, wasn't big on doing research, wasn't big on doing much of anything other than I'm Greg Norman and I'm going to tell you what I think. And most people saw right through that. It's amazing to me how in broadcast, how because somebody has a name or had a name, how they automatically are given a platform as big as, in this case, the U.S. Open to sit there and comment on, or Fox is going to build their whole broadcast golf platform around a guy who, when he gets in to do broadcasting, doesn't get it. Doesn't get it.
And we've seen both extremes, Brad, of athletes that transition into broadcasting, and some, you can tell, take it very serious
yep.
and are on the fast track, mm-hmm. and others just think, yeah, I can sit down and just go through the X's and O's or analyze a, you know, a par four, whatever. And as they eventually will get weeded out. It doesn't matter how big of a name you are.
Mm-hmm.
They will find someone because there's always someone else that's probably just as big of a name that's waiting to transition in.
Remember when we saw Kurt Warner at the NFL Network?
Yes.
Last August.
Mm-hmm.
So Eric and I go out to LA to do the Pac-12 Media Day stuff, which is great. We get all the football coaches. And I said, let's jump in the car. Let's go see Fabiano. Eric lines it up. We go over to the NFL Network studios. We get in with Michael and walk into the commissary, and here's Kurt. Kurt's got a backpack, shorts, T-shirt, flip-flops, backpacks full of stuff. He's the oldest guy outside of me in the room. Because at the NFL Network, everybody's in their 20s and 30s. They can just go hire people and pay them nothing because they're going to tell their buddies, I work at the NFL Network. It's very clear. And Kurt is there, and he's just working. And then we're talking about family and stuff that really matters. And he still gets after it. Those guys work dang long hours. When we have Fabiano on here, he's got to jump in and out of stuff. And he gets there at 3 and 4 in the morning. You're thinking he's just talking football. Well, if he's not any good, they're going to blow him out. So I respect guys that put in the work and put in the time and the energy and the effort and not just roll in and look for a free meal and sit there and flirt with a pretty PA who's next to them and, you know, mail it in. And you can see those guys from a mile away. Greg Norman, I mean, that's a real blow to the credibility of Fox. And people would already say, well, Fox doesn't have much credibility. I would disagree with you on that. I think that they have some really good people. But in this case, with Greg Norman punching his ticket after a year, not even a year, they punched his ticket as the number one guy. That means they just flat missed. How's that happen? Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic AZ Central Sports. There's plenty of content up on our website right now at sports360az.com. We are 24/7, 365, Arizona-centric. Things that we see a little bit off the, I don't know, what everybody else is doing. I like to say we're the Whole Foods and Sprouts in a world of Walmart. Our TV show is every Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday night on Fox Sports Arizona. 4 airings a day and night. Jared Nielsen gets it done. He gets it done. Appreciate him. Eric Sorensen, appreciate him and all of his warts, mine too. And for you guys being with us day in and day out. Thanks for being with us.